You outdid your pastor, is all I can say. Last week, Kobe said, you know, hey, all these people are telling me they're not going to be here. And so he said, there could be five people here. And then I reminded Kobe, I said, because, you know, Kobe's from Glen Rose, and I was a pastor down in Glen Rose and at Rock Creek Baptist Church. And it's Christmas time. I'll just tell you the story. I was ready for five people, okay, but you're, like I said, you've done great. But it was Christmas time, and Christmas fell on Sunday, and so everybody's telling me, no one's going to be here, no one's going to be here. I said, well, we're going to, there's one Christmas we were going to be in Texas. So he said, we're going to have preaching, we're going to have services, we're going to have worship. You know, this is a spiritual time, and I encouraged the people and said, you know, we need to be here for worship. And Christmas morning came, and I was going to preach, and two people showed up. So, and I said, well, those two people, I'm going to preach to those two people. And as I was preaching, I started to hear someone snoring. And I looked down, and this family, they were the lights. She was a stringer, he was a light, and they always said they were a string of lights. And I saw her nudging her husband, who was snoring and sleeping there. So I had one person listening and one person sleeping. So I'm okay, whatever it is, we are okay, and you've done great. What? Well, yeah, you were there, but I always know that you're listening to my sermons. I didn't figure you were sleeping. No, you were there. Well, this morning as we get into the message, you can be turning over in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, especially as I've gotten older and it seems like my age is starting to jump on me. I said, how did I get to this point? How did I get this old? So, but ever consider the priorities of your life, what the priorities of your life are. What's the guiding principles of your life? What's important to you? What's important that you carry out in your life and in your family and in your relationships? Do you ever think about that? In Milan, Italy, there's a cathedral with inscriptions over each respective doorway. Over the right-hand door are these words, all that pleases is but for a moment. Then over the left-hand door, it says, all that troubles is but for a moment. But over the central door, I think it's some really simple but very powerful words. It says, nothing is important save that which is eternal. You know, we live in a world where things shout for our attention. I mean, especially with social media and all the forms of media, it seems like we're just bombarded with information and things that seem to be screaming at us. And I think that one of the things is that fear sells, and you see a lot of fear out there and anxiety over the world and all the things going on in our world. And so as a people, as a Christian community, we need that sense of direction. We need that sense of priority for our life. And because of all the shouting out there of trying to get our attention. One time I was in Kohl's store, and it was near our home, and a lady was checking out with two children. She had one of her children standing next to her. She was holding another one, and the one that she was holding began to loudly say, I want my toy. And the child had this refrain over and over, I want my toy. Now I kind of feel like I'm kind of laid back and can handle stuff like that. So I went on back onto shopping and looking for some bargains at Kohl's. But the problem was it kept getting louder and louder. And about the 25th refrain of, "I want my toy," I said, "I've got to find a place that I can go in the store and get away from that." But I wasn't the only one. There seemed like there was other people moving to the farthest reaches of the store so they didn't hear it. But I got to the farthest reach that I could go, and I could still hear, "I want my toy." And as I was thinking about that, I think, you know, it's amazing how a little screaming boy could change my focus, could change my attitude, because I did have an attitude about that, and could change my geography. In a similar way, you know, the noise of the world can change things in our life, and in a sense, change our priorities. And we can get caught up in the pressures of the world and what's going on in the world around us, and miss out on the blessing and how God desires to use us in this world. And these things can begin to dominate our life. But I think that the scripture is very clear and gives us clear direction on a priority that enriches our life and gives us focus and meaning to our life. And we find these words in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, verse 34. Jesus was teaching, and of course he was answering the questions of the religious leaders. And in verse 28, we read, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is hear this. Hear the Lord, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these.' 'Well,' said the teacher," the man replied, "'you are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him, to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions." So here Jesus, I really believe that he gives us a life-guiding principle for our life and a direction for our life. And he sets this priority. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, I don't think what Jesus said is confusing to you. It's very clear. The Lord is to be the life-dominating love of our life. In my life, I know that I've surely grieved the Lord in my relationship with him. And I've treated that relationship sometimes almost like a one-night stand or a one-day thing, you know, where I'll go worship and spend time with the Lord, but the rest of the week kind of be about doing my own thing. But, you know, the scripture oftentimes would confront that kind of attitude. Scripture says that the religious leaders were confronted with, you know, you worship the Lord with your mouth, with your tongue, but your heart is far from me. See, God doesn't want just our sacrifices and our one-day thing or a one-night stand, but he asked for a 24/7 relationship with him. Love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and all your mind. But you know, before we even go there and begin really fleshing that out, we need to understand that there's something that comes before that. And maybe it's not, we don't see it clearly, but it should be clearly. For that to happen, for us to have that kind of relation, something else happened. There was an invitation, there was an openness to the Lord to be able to have that kind of relationship. God is the initiator of the relationship, not us. And we need to remember that. You see, without God's first expression of his love to us, we could not love him. Turn over your Bibles just for a moment. I want to kind of just re-emphasize what I just said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And look what the apostle writes here. And notice what he says. He says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." And notice what he says. He says, John says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So what we see here in what John says is that God initiated the relationship. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. So what the foundation is what God did in the beginning and was in the very heart of God. I love the beautiful story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. And I can relate to that, you know, and I think most of us can. Here was this son who asked for his inheritance, and what did he do with the inheritance that he received from the father? He squandered it. He spent it on, as the scripture says, on wild living. And when it was all gone, and his friends left him, and all that was left for him to do is feed pigs. And he was so hungry, he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. That's how desperate he was. And then he began to think, and he says, you know, my father, living with him, you know, that was a great life. And maybe the father will just take me in as his servant. And so he comes back to his father, and while he's a ways off, the father sees him and goes running to the son and embraces him and kisses him and loves him. And the scripture goes on to say that as the son had come in humility and said he was willing to do anything, and the father exchanged the stinking clothes that he had on with the best robe and put sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. And the father threw a party for the son because he was so glad that the son had come back. You see, the father's heart was for the son. He loved him and he cared for him. You see, when we embrace the love of God, we enter into a relationship with our loving father that makes it possible to live out our faith for the Lord. His love provides security. Then we don't have to be questioning relationship when things get rough. And you all know that in life, if you've lived long enough, that life isn't always easy. And relationships aren't always easy. Whether it be marriage with your children, in workplace, or anything, there is difficulties in life, and you might be criticized, you might be rejected. Circumstances may change. But we can stay anchored to the Lord. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 39. He says that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see here that the Lord has provided this security in our life, that regardless of circumstances or the difficulties we find in our life, that there's a security there in the love that the Father has given to us. He also gives us forgiveness that we didn't earn. So we don't have to let shame or our past or guilt or the baggage in our life to dominate our life and rule our life and change our focus in life. But we can live life to the fullest. Not only can we live life to the fullest, we can forgive others with a radical kind of forgiveness that the world desperately needs, our relationships desperately need. We need that kind of forgiveness that has been given to us, and that's always there. But there's also, we embrace in this relationship of love that God's given to us, we experience hope. Heaven's our home. We're just kind of living here for a short time as kind of like aliens. this world. This is not our kingdom. This is not our world. The world that we're ultimately going to, that we're going to live with eternity, is the home that Jesus Christ established in his love for us. And it gives us a God-shaped perspective. So when all the stuff is screaming out there, and it is, and you're going to hear more of it in the days to come till November, a lot of screaming. And in the midst of all that, you need to carry into this world and this life a hopefulness that's not wrapped up in one person or two people or whoever's in power, but it's wrapped up in our relationship with Jesus. And it's a hope that we need in our world today, and it's a hope that the world needs, because there's chaos in the world. And everywhere we go and whatever we do, God's eternal hope and love goes with us. But there's something else that I think we need to see about what this love relationship provides for us, that we can enjoy this relationship that we have with God. We can grow. I know about growing in a family. In some ways, I know about not growing in a family too. And sometimes in our dysfunctional relationships. But when you have a family and people grow up in a loving relationship and a family and a nurturing family, it's a wonderful thing. Not always easy. I've gone through having children, teenagers, that's sometimes difficult, and grown kids. I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, and I'm a great-grandfather. I have 15 grandchildren, going on getting close to having 8 great-grandchildren. So I know about relationships, and I know about nurturing, and as I watch family and I watch people, I know the strength of living in a loving, nurturing family and how much that means. Now, it's not easy. It's not always easy for kids, because a loving relationship often means discipline. And discipline isn't easy, whether you're the one giving it or the one receiving it. But it's very, very important. It's a part of relationships. It's part of love. And my kids, Jason, Doug, Leslie, they weren't perfect kids. They tested me. They tested their mom, especially our boys. But something you recognize there is how important love is. And so we have that kind of relationship. We have that kind of relationship with our God, a loving relationship in which we can grow in the relationship and the safety of growing up in that kind of a life. Turn your Bibles for a moment to Ephesians chapter 3, a very wonderful prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. But I want us to look at just a particular part of that prayer, because it really stresses the importance of that love relationship that we have with the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, Paul prayed. He said that being rooted and established in love, that we may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. As we are in relationship as God's children and we grow in that relationship and the safety and the fullness of that relationship, we grow in our understanding of God's love. We never come to the point of completely understanding the depth and the width, but that life is there, that we can understand that more and more and more, how much God loves us. I mean, once we get into heaven, we're going to be blown over by the immensity of God's love for us. But we can live in that today, and we can grow in that today, and desire to know that more and more, the expression of what it means to love God and be loved by Him. We can be free to just generously give our life away, whether it's the stewardship of our time, of our talents, because God has gifted us to have talents, or even financially. The needs are out there. And we've all experienced the economic times in which we live, and inflation. And we can do this. Either we can hold more tightly to the things that we've been blessed with, or as we grow in the Lord, that we can be more of the giver. And just be able to share in the stewardship of our finances, the stewardship of our time, and giving. I read a statistic one time that the average giving is, for people that attend church, is like 2.5%. Well, yesterday, we went out to eat. And one of the things, when you, if you use a card or whatever, and you stick it in there, and what pops up? How much tip you're going to give? And I noticed the last place we went to, it didn't start out at like 10%. It started out at 18% and 20% and 25%. But where do we start? In our giving, in our stewardship, and really the expression of our love for God. I'm not talking about that legalistic sense of giving. I'm talking about giving from a generosity that God has bestowed and showed to us, that there's a willingness on our part to be able to share that, not only within the confines of the church itself and the ministries that we're trying to accomplish for the Lord and the missions and all those different things, but also in our expression of people that are around us, because all around us are people, there's the needs. And we can begin to pour out our lives. I remember the story about the woman who had the expensive perfume and came to Jesus because she's so grateful for what God had done in her life and how he had healed her and cast out demons in her life. And she came to Jesus and bowed down before him and broke open this expensive perfume that was cost as much as a year's wages. And people questioned her, why are you so foolish? But her heart was so full of what God had done for him that she wanted to express that love. Whatever the cost was, it didn't matter. Are you growing in your expression of gratitude? As your faith grows, you just see what God is doing in your life and what he's done in your life. And we need to be refreshed of that in our life and in the life of what God has given to us. But there's something else that we see here, you know, in the expression of God's love for us, is how true faith will transform our relationships. Really, that's the last thing that Jesus was talking about here as he was speaking with this man. Jesus said the second part of the greatest commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm pretty good at that part about yourself. And really, it comes pretty natural. We're going to love ourselves. We're going to take care of ourselves. We're going to feed ourselves. We're going to clothe ourselves. We're going to find venues of entertainment. We're going to make ourselves comfortable. But Jesus said, the second part of the greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. I believe sometimes that the only thing that's really holding the church back is that sometimes it's more about protecting our hearts, protecting our interests so tightly that the love of God is not being expressed as it should in our life, flowing from our lives into the world in which we live. People need to see that in our lives. They need to see the expression of God's love through us. See, we have a well that will never run dry in relationship to God's love for us. It will never run dry. And so Jesus is the model of love that he was willing to share his life and give his life on the cross for us. So he poured out his love on the cross so that we too could pour out our love to the people around us. When the church began, there was that aspect of the radical nature of the love of the church. In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, it said that all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They were selling their possessions and goods and they gave to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and they broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added their number daily, those who were being saved. And you know what? That got the attention of people. And people said, how they love one another. You know, there are a lot of how-to books, and I've bought a lot of them. How we can do church better. How we can be a better Christian. How to be a successful Christian. How can we be a growing church. But it seems here that Jesus gave us a simple program for growth. And I say it's simple, but it can be very hard too, because it challenges us. It challenges our own heart. And I can't remember all the stuff that I read in those books, but I can remember this. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a simple how-to way. How's that going to show up in our lives? It needs to show up in my relationship with my wife. At times I want to do my own thing. Am I listening to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying about my relationship with my wife, with my children, with the people that I work with now that I'm working at the senior centers and getting around? How am I going to express that love to people? When there's times when I get my coworkers rub me the wrong way, are they going to be able to see Jesus in my life? Are you willing to dive into the waters and see how God's going to work through you in relationship with him? He was the one that initiated it. That's the first thing that we need to remember. I can say, you know, that we're called to love the Lord with all of our whole selves. But the reality of it is that it begins with the Lord. The invitation that he's given to us to enter into a relationship with him. So first of all, are you willing to dive into that relationship? Have you come to the point in your life where you want that kind of life, you want that kind of relationship with the Lord, that you're willing to say, you know, Lord, I want to give my heart, I want to give my life to you. Have you received the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ offers to you? God took the first step. Jesus came into the world to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven, that we could have life with him, that we could have that kind of security. But the other step is, are you willing to take that step of letting Jesus Christ be the radical priority of our life, of your life, my life? So today, as we have a time of invitation, maybe you're at that point in your life where you desire to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and make your life with him the greatest priority. Or maybe in your Christian life, you've kind of lost that focus in your life. Again, there's so many things that happen in our lives that sometimes detour us away from really that priority of our life. And maybe your love for the Lord has grown cold. And you want to reestablish that priority in your life. Well, today, as we have a time of invitation, as Stefan comes and leads us in a time of invitation, I'm going to stand down here at the front. If there's something that you'd like to pray about, or maybe you're at that point in your life where you want to give your heart and life to Jesus, the most important decision in your life, you do that today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, I just pray, God, that as we've heard, Lord, the words that Jesus has shared, Lord, that first of all, God, that we see that there's nothing that we can accomplish without embracing your love. And Lord, I pray that we'll be just so thankful for your provision. Lord, that love that you showered upon us will be the driving force in our life, a sense of hope and sense of security. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that is in need of that, Lord, that they would be able to take that step of faith and give their heart and life to you. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.